result. I was, kind of squeaky. And the Lord dropped this in my spirit. He said, Philip, you've been to churches where pastors had their hands tied because of the deacon board. They told him what to preach. They told him what he could do and couldn't do. That's what's happening to Squeaky. His hands are tied by the Congress over there, our legislator, right? And so he's frustrated. He ain't sleeping. He ain't sleeping. So anyways, let's get in the Word tonight. Last night we looked at RIDE, right? The acronym. R stands for what? Revelation. Now the world looks at you and they say ridiculous. What does I stand for? The world looks at you and sees and calls you insane. D stands for what? The world looks at you and thinks you're delusional. E stands for what? They look at you and say you're extreme. Hallelujah. But we know whom we have believed in, and we're persuaded that he is able. And time invested in God's word is never wasted time. Never wasted time. I've said it several times, but I saw Billy Graham being interviewed probably about 5 years before he moved to heaven. And they asked him if he had to do his life over again, what would he do? And one of the biggest soul winners this planet has ever seen. And he said, if I had to do my life all over again, I'd spend more time in prayer and in the Word. Now, that's Billy Graham. And I'm sure he had a prayer life and a Word life. Amen. But we're going to take these 3 weeks and just center in on the Word of God. Amen. Now, this week, we're really just laying foundation for the following 2 weeks. In other words, we're going over a lot of familiar territory and reestablishing our footing on what we're standing on. What you're desiring, what you have sown for and you're standing for, could be healing, could be prosperity, could be a house, could be household salvation, or all the above. And God's word provides for that. And not only does it provide for it, Jesus made it happen. And I don't want to leave nothing on the table. I don't want to get to heaven. And Jesus said, well, Philip, you got half of it in. But look what you left on the table. I don't want that. I want to walk in the fullness of the blessing. And I believe you do too. Amen. So we're going to look at some things tonight that, like I said last night, it's like an old friend coming by to visit, but bringing a new friend with him to introduce to you. So we're going to go back to the basic three faith questions. What is faith? How do I get faith? And how do I use faith once I get it? Right? Because there are a lot of people that don't know the answer to those three things. They're a hoping and a praying. They're a wishing and a washing. Right? They don't know even the reality of what faith is. You ask them about faith, well, they'll say, if they're a churchgoer, I'm of the Methodist faith, I'm of the Catholic faith, or whatever. Or if you say, well, what is faith? Well, I believe there's a God, and so on and so forth. They don't realize what faith is, that revelation. And you didn't know what it was until it was revealed to you, right? And because you didn't know what it was, you would lean towards, well, God just does whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. And, you just got to roll with the punches and hang on because we'll know more by and by. And that'll leave you with a life of defeat. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so I'm talking to the faith crowd here tonight. And those of you that are watching beyond, let us know where you're watching from. If we're being an inspiration to you, inspire us right back. Just email us, help, H-E-L-P, at faithvictorychurch.us, and let us know where you are watching from. So what is faith? See, let's start right there. Romans chapter 3. Did you bring your Bibles tonight?
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 3. This is a game changer, just this right here. Verse 27, talking about how you and I got born again, how we were made righteous. And the Apostle Paul says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. He answers it for us. You can't brag on how you have been redeemed by yourself. I'm a good person. I mow the church lawn. Well, whatever. I haven't never murdered anyone, I've heard people say. You know, by what law? Of works? No, not by works, but by the law of faith. So important. Those three words right there, law of faith. This is what governs the just living by faith. Is that law of faith. We live in a land, supposedly, of law. Now, we're seeing a lot of lawlessness in this country. And it grieves those of us that have been raised when there was, we grew up with, you cannot outrun the long arm of the law. But we're living in a society where the highest offices in the land are corrupt and making laws accordingly. But you and I, we're in the kingdom. Yes, we're in this world, this 3D world, but we've been birthed into that fourth dimension. And when you and I understand spiritual law, you cannot get away from it. One of the most basic is seed time and harvest. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap, whether you a sinner or a saint. What the world says, what goes around comes around. See? And so you cannot escape what the laws of the land are and what the laws of the kingdom. Now, when a law of the kingdom supersedes the law of the land, we go by the law of the kingdom. Right? Abortion was the law of the land there for a while, right? And in some places are still trying to keep it as law as far as in their states. But in Kentucky, hallelujah, we have victory, glory be to God. Come on now. But the law of faith then, when we understand how faith operates, what it is, how do we get it, and how we use it, then we can be law-abiding citizens, and it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. So this is so vital in what is faith, you know. And see, you can go up against theological professors in seminary, and if the question was poised, what is faith, they'd come up with all kinds of eloquent answers, right, that they've been schooled in. But there you are, coming off the street or out of the religious stronghold that you are in, and you can say, faith is a law. And they look at you like you just lost your mind. But you're talking 4D. They're talking 3D. Big difference, see? So faith is a law. And we don't want to be lawbreakers. See? Okay. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 gives a Bible definition of what faith is. Hebrews 11. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. And let's look at verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now again, hope is past tense there. You cannot, it's not the law of hope. It's the law of faith. But hope is the allows you to have a blueprint for your faith. It allows you to have a target for your faith. Hope does that. And without hope, you don't have anything to target your faith for. Hope comes first. You know the circle of faith, right? But you cannot stay in hope and manifest what God has. And this whole thing about, you know, you pray the prayer of faith with somebody who don't know faith. And afterwards you say, now let's just believe we received that. And they say, well, I hope so. See, they didn't lock in with you. So that when you prayed, you're on your own if that miracle is going to happen. You understand? Right? So hope is necessary to understand what has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we get into the scriptures, we find hope. Pain in your body, by his stripes you were healed. Boom, you have hope now that pain can be actually removed out of your body and healing in replace of that. It gives you hope, but that hope won't bring it to pass. That hope by itself will not bring it to pass. It says now faith is. Now faith is. Present tense. Hoped, past tense. So we have to transition from hoping for that to happen to faith knowing it will happen. It takes on a substance. Faith takes on a substance. You've heard me teach this before. Substance, sub, means under. Like submarine, subfloor, subway, right? All those things. And then stance is how you stand. See? So faith is not this, what the world calls blind faith. Well, I'm just stepping out in blind faith. Ain't no such thing as blind faith. Faith will heal the blind. But there's no such thing as blind faith. Faith sees something. For we walk by faith, not by physical sight. Right? And not even mental sight, but spiritual sight. Your third set of eyes. And so faith is the understanding of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It is the evidence of things not seen. And, you know, when you have in the court of law a particular situation that's gone to trial and nobody saw the crime except the one that did the crime. And so because there were no eyewitnesses, then they start gathering evidence, and they build their case, and they put the timing together. They may have found this at that crime site and located that, looked at their cell phone and got information off that, and boom, all of a sudden they get so much evidence, even though nobody saw the crime, they can reconstruct it by the evidence that they have gathered to bring a conviction. Come on now. To bring a conviction. And that's what we do. We start hoping that what we're facing can be changed. it's impossible, but all things are possible to him that believes. So we start gathering evidence, and we take, by his stripes we were healed. He bore all of our sicknesses, carried all of our diseases. Then we start getting in, and we look at how Matthew describes that crucifixion and all the four quote-unquote gospels, and we start getting a picture of what Jesus went through. And we get over there in Isaiah 53, and we see that he was marred beyond any man. And all of a sudden, evidence is coming forth, more than just, well, I know God can heal. And we gather so much evidence, now we have a conviction within us. And we've gone from hoping to knowing. Follow this now. See, this is so important, because we live in this world where there is conflict. We live in this world where there is a devil. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the what? Hope? No, faith. Faith. Follow this now, because we're getting a Bible definition of what faith is. Faith understands 4D. I said faith understands 4D. That's why it doesn't look at 3D and conclude it's all over. No, 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 no. No. We know something beyond what we see. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this might sound real basic. This might sound real elementary. But this is where people get hung up so many times, because they start slipping in the understanding of 4D by what they're seeing. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Subject to change. But the things which are not seen are what? You can't move them. Aren't you glad God's not iffy? He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed you 5 years ago. He's going to heal you now. He provided for you 10 years ago. He's going to provide for you now. Faithful and true. It ain't all that. Relax. You're in Holy Ghost meetings. Come on now. And we're going from faith to faith. Right? Now, a couple other translations. The Living Bible says it this way. Is it up on the screen? What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that had hoped, because we know it's past tense, that what we had hoped for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. But I like that first part. It is the confident assurance. We used to sing in the Methodist church, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. We didn't know what we were singing, but we sang it at the top of our lungs. First and third stanzas. Everyone standing. The choir director would go with it. Hallelujah. Right? But it is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. Folks, it's going to happen. If you stay in faith and you keep standing, keep thinking, keep leaping, I didn't have nobody participate. It's going to happen. I said it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Thank you. I guess I'm the chief domino tonight. The Message says it like this. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. You know how many people on this planet, they don't think life is worth living? They're killing themselves, committing suicide, self-destructing. But faith, I'm talking about even believers. Faith is the firm foundation under everything. The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? It's the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. It's a handle. What's a handle? It's what you grab a hold of. Come on. Get a handle on it. Get a handle on your healing. Get a handle on your provision. Get a handle on your house. Get a handle on your business. Get a handle on your family. Get a handle on it. Faith will get a handle on every situation, and then don't let go. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Where is it? Mark chapter 5, I believe it is, where it says, and it came to pass. They got to the other side. I can't tell you how many times I just turned in that and just read it. Right? And they came over to the other side. Come on. There's the other side. If there wasn't another side, what are you doing in here on a Wednesday night? What are you sitting in here? Right? Because you ain't got no place to go? No. You know that God got something better. Come on. God got something more for you. Hallelujah. So that's what is faith. Faith is the understanding. Look at verse 3, Hebrews 11. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand that the 3D world and the 4D world were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things which are 3D were not made of things of 3D. You following that? So everything 3D is temporary. I mean, there's going to come a time when this earth is going to be burned up. God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. And even in its cursed, present, evil world condition, look how beautiful it is. There's some beautiful spots on this planet. And the ones that are ugly is because a bunch of sins there and people are living in poverty, don't know the blessing of the Lord, right? And it's under a cursed condition. Oh, hallelujah. God's got a beautiful place for you. I ain't talking about over yonder neither. I'm talking about right here. Right here. So it's through faith that we understand. How can you believe in all that thing that preacher's preaching? Through faith. Through faith. When you will grab things even before you fully understand them, and you just say, I believe I received that in Jesus' name. The understanding will flood your soul. The understanding will come. Are you following this? No, praise God, the Bible says it. Hallelujah. You know, I've seen some pretty supernatural things in my life. And when I didn't understand a lot of things, I was at the farmhouse, the Lazy Eight, and there wasn't nothing lazy about it. But I would ask God, what about that? Sitting at that little kitchen table in our little kitchen there, actually the kitchen was the biggest room of the whole house, and my Bible would start flipping pages. And because I'd have my eyes closed, I said, Lord, I don't understand that. And I knew where I was, and I opened my eyes, and just enough to see the pages stop. No fan blowing, nothing. And I'd look down, boom, there was the answer. That happened for, I don't know, a couple of weeks. I try to catch it. Lord, what about that? Right? And God was giving me understanding. But I was already believing it before I had the understanding, see? And once you do understand, people around you won't. That's what's so important about being around like precious faith. That's what's so important about our fellowship. Because people look at you and you can't talk like you want to talk. I mean, you got to be selective in what you say, because they already think you're goofy, right? And then you're looking for a door of utterance, and it's about that wide open, you know, so you can only say just a little bit, because you don't want to drive them any further away than what they already are, see? But so it's through faith we understand. So we found out that what is faith? Faith is a law, and faith is the understanding of how the 4D operates and how we're to live by faith. You good with that? You follow that? Okay, because I want to get further down here. How do I get faith? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, I like the KJV. Y'all know what the KJV translation is? What? No, it ain't. It's the Kentucky Jesus Version. State Journal, right? A lot of other translations, they totally miss this when they're talking about in verse 3 how God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. A lot of translations, they make it out to be like, oh, well, you got this measure because you're gifted that way. Somebody got that measure because they're gifted that way. And, you know, it makes it out like, well, pastor got more faith than you did because of what God had gifted him to do. And are you following what I'm saying? It's not true. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everyone got the same. Everyone got the same. So when you got born again, you were given the measure of faith. That was your starting point. Now, in here are all different levels of faith. All different levels. We're not all on the same level, right? And the level where you're at is dependent on what you've applied, how you've applied yourself in doing your homework and how you live daily, see? And when I found out that it was through faith that our lives were changed, I went after it. I went after it. I mean, just like I used to overdose in drugs and take as much as I could, I did that with the Word of God. I mean, I literally would have my cassette tape player, and I'd be falling asleep, and I literally would slap myself to wake up and rewind it in case I missed anything, push it again. over and over and over again, nonstop, nonstop, right? And what was coming? Faith. Faith was coming, right? Right now, when these meetings are over, you are going to be way beyond in your faith level than you ever was. You're going to be way beyond. It's not me saying that. It's the Word of God saying that, right? So we all had the same starting point. We're not all at the same level, right? And you can't stop me, and I can't stop you. It's all left up to you. How much do you want? Romans 10, let's go there. And verse number 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. By the rhema. You need to hear rhema being preached. Remember what I told you preaching does? It takes the Logos word and brings it into a rhema revelation. Rhema is the word that's alive to you now. It's not just something that you know the Bible says. It's alive to you. Kenneth Hagin built his whole ministry out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Broken Arrow, on that one Greek word. That's where Rhema Bible College came from, right? And all these Rhema churches around the world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that Rhema word of God. Now, it's more than just you listening. It's you listening and receiving. Follow this. If you're just listening, your mind can be drifting off. Like right now, where's your mind at? I mean, are you attentive to what is coming out right now? Or something trying to pull you that happened earlier today or might supposed to tomorrow or when you get out of here tonight or, see, are you following? And so that word hearing, it's a interesting word in the Greek. It's echoe. Hearing, preach, report, rumor. Right? Right? But notice it's from 191. And when you look at 191, to hear, be noise, be reported, understand. Understand. Now the Bible is interpreting itself. Through faith we understand. Faith is the understanding of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith comes by understanding rhema. Are you following this? Faith comes by understanding rhema. Faith comes by understanding 4D. You got this? Well, I feel my helper in here, right? So, just listening isn't enough. You have to listen with the intent to be imparted to. That you're going to draw out of the well of the one ministering, rhema. And listen, the individual that's ministering can be operating out of a rhema filled life, but the rhema you need is something they haven't experienced. You following this? But because they have rhema operating in their life, you can pull something out of them. That you hear preachers talk about going down a little rabbit trail. I don't know why I'm going down there. Well, somebody's pulling. Are you following this? And you can actually pull rhema from an individual that has never, ever experienced that in their life. Are you following this? Because the person preaching believes in rhema manifestations. But the one they're believing for, they've never actually experienced it. For instance, I've never experienced being pregnant. But I can't tell you how many women, me and Mama Alberta, have prayed for that they needed to be, they wanted a child. And medical science, 3D, has said no way. Right? And we laid hands on them, and boom, they got pregnant. That one came out of my mouth. The next time I see you, you'll be with child. Didn't know that I'd be back there preaching about 7 months later in that same church. I forgot all about it. And there she was, great with child. Come on now. So we never experienced that. But because we believe in rhema miracles, she pulled that out. Folks, y'all be pulling this week, next week, the week after. Forever y'all to be pulling. Right? Okay. So, we see then, faith comes by understanding. I remember one time I was listening to a faith in the faith camp preacher, and we were actually over in Century Plaza when the Lord spoke this to me. And he was saying, the only way faith comes is by hearing. So you need to read the word out loud. And the only way you can receive more faith is to hear preaching. I thought to myself, man, I haven't been reading the word out loud. Okay. And the Lord just shut that down. Whoa, Philip, time out. Let me ask you something. I said, what's... And I knew who he was talking about. He brought a particular individual up to me and said, is she born again? I said, oh, yeah, she's born again. How do you know? Well, I can tell by the fruit in her life. Well, how'd she get saved? Because she was deaf. She was deaf. She never heard with her ear. But she got understanding. And that freed me from reading the Bible out loud. Now, I'm not against reading the Bible out loud, right? Not against that, right? Are you following what I'm saying? But faith, Bible faith, comes by understanding. See? And certainly, the more you hear something, the more you hear something, the greater the understanding. How many times you listen to a message over again, and you sat right in that message, and then all of a sudden, I sat right there, and I never heard that. Where was I? That's happened to me before, right? And so just because you heard it once doesn't mean you heard it all. And, they tell us that your ability to retain, because they're just doing it by science and studies, not 4D. Because the Holy Ghost brings all things to remembrance. But they say, you know, when you leave after hearing something, you lose 75% of what you hear in the next 24 hours or something like that, right? Not us. I said not us. Not us. Matter of fact, lift your hands right now. Say, Holy Ghost, you bring all things to remembrance. Everything you have said and everything you're saying now. I will not be a forgetful hearer. My mind is clear. And I have memory that has the ability to recall everything that is important in the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Yeah, hallelujah. Okay. So then faith comes. That's right. Faith comes by understanding. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Let's put our eyes on verse 10. This is Jesus. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Hear and understand. Hear and understand what you're hearing. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Why were they offended? They didn't, that's right, Pastor Eric, they did not understand. They did not understand. That's why the greatest demonstration to your circle of influence is manifestation. It's manifestation. That's your greatest testimony of the people that look at your life is manifestation. That's what made me so mad years ago, knowing what I knew and had nothing to show for it. And I knew what the Bible said, but I didn't have anything to show for it. See? Well, you stay with it. You stay with it. I said, you stay with it. You're going to have something to show. Show and tell. We're going to have show and tell. You know, I heard Brother Copeland when his ministry took off. And a minister came up to him and said, Brother Copeland, your ministry just took off overnight. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. That was a long night. 10 years. 10 years is what he said. If I recall right, and I recall right, because the Holy Ghost brings all things remembered. Right? So why were they offended? Because they didn't understand. And that's why people get offended. But we don't get offended. Great peace do we have because we love the Word of God, and nothing, let it go, forgive, got too much on the line, nothing shall offend us. Right? Why? Because we understand. We understand. You with me? Okay. Now, this helped me, and it's part of my daily confession. Psalms 119. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Let's put our eyes on verse 27. Make me to understand. Make me to understand. Now, we know that understanding is faith. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, increase our faith? And he basically told them, you ain't using the faith you got. Right? Faith is a servant. We'll probably get into that in another teaching, right? But right here, you want your faith to grow? According to 2 Thessalonians, where is it? Chapter 1, verse 3? Put that up there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3, I believe it is. Yes, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth, and it ain't growing, exceedingly. You know, Stephen, a man full of faith, right? So, well, this is the hand that God dealt me. No, this is the hand that you dealt yourself. God dealt you the measure of faith, and it's up to you and I to cultivate it. It's up to you and I to pursue that law of faith and bring more understanding of the 4D kingdom in which we've been translated into, learn how to operate in this 3D world according to that 4D law. And Psalmist David said, okay, make me to understand. I dare you to do that for 21 days and watch what God does. Well, I pray the eyes of my understanding. I know that's good. I do too. But there's something that goes from open my eyes of understanding to make me to understand. Glory be to God. Do you really want that desire? Do you really want to serve? Do you really want to flourish? That word has been coming up to me more and more. Flourish. 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 I prophesy over you tonight that you will flourish like never before. You will flourish like the palm tree, straight up, bypassing all the tricks of the enemy, bypassing all the doubt and unbelief, bypassing all the debt, bypassing all the pain, just flourishing on every side. If you go to the north, the south, east, west, in the city, out of the city, wherever you may be, you are flourishing. Your family is flourishing. Your bank accounts are flourishing. Your businesses are flourishing. Your employment is flourishing. Your transportation is flourishing. Your whole being is flourishing. I release that in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Hey, 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 glory to God. Yes. Make me to understand. Hallelujah. So we looked at what is faith. We looked at how do we get faith. Now, how do I use faith once I get it? 2 Corinthians 4. There's three ways that you use your faith. Words, actions, and gifts. Words, actions, and gifts. We look at words first. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, past tense, therefore have I spoken, past tense. We also believe, present tense, and therefore we speak, present tense. So in other words, we spoke it in the past, and we keep speaking it in the present. No matter if the pain feels worse, no matter if the checking book went down, no matter if you were denied, the business still didn't go through, no matter what, right? Faith speaks. I said faith says something. Okay. You've done it. I've done it. Got overwhelmed by a situation, and you let something goofy come out of your soul, and your spirit was in conflict with it. Now, depending on how matured you are, is how quick you got rid of that goofy thing you just said. Right? Because Romans 10, let's go there. My goodness, I got to speed up. I got to get you out of here on time. Romans chapter 10. Yeah, listen, y'all. This is the first week, about third week. Didn't he say he'd be going an hour? Romans chapter 10, are you there? Verse number 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, or the righteous person that operates by faith, speaks. You can't think your way through the battle. You can't think your way into the manifestation. Say not. Now, isn't that interesting? That it starts off telling us what not to say. Come on now. Don't get over in the question territory. Well, who's going to go up to heaven and get this? Or who's going to bring Christ up? No, question territory. Wrote a whole book on it. That's where the devil wants to drag you and I. To question. So interesting that the Holy Ghost says, don't say this. Now, why would he have to tell us not to say it? Because the situation could rise up. Like you knew God told you that house and you didn't get it yet. I said yet. I don't care who moved in there, how many U-Haul trucks pulled up in front of it. Come on now. Say not in your heart. You know your heart talks? It just comes out your speaker. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is bring Christ down from the dead. Next verse. Or who shall descend in the deep, that is bring up Christ again from the dead. Next verse. But what does it say? What are we supposed to say? I said, what's the Bible telling us? Don't say things in questions. Say the answer. Come on. Say the answer. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is a what? The word of what? Faith, which is being preached to you. That's what you say. You don't say the other. I don't care what it looks like or how long it's looked that way. Hallelujah. This is what we say. Next verse. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be sozoed. Now, believing ain't enough. You got to have some saying. I said you got to have some saying. And I ain't got time to go into it. I got 15 minutes. Homologio, that word confess. Homologio, homo, same as, homosexual, same as, same sex. Logio, logos, word. Homologio, saying the same word that God says. Don't say what's coming off the top of your head. How's this going to happen? I'm a good Christian. Shut up. That's what they were doing in the wilderness. They were crying in the wilderness, crying. Can't go there. That's why you're the elite force. Some people can't handle this kind of talk. They want a watered-down gospel so they can just go to work, come home, go on their vacation once a year, and, you know, enjoy birthdays, Christmas, and, you know, just live happily ever after. You're living in fantasy land. You think at 30, at 40, that's just living the good life. You ain't got no idea. You better be listening to your elders. Because you're going to find out Valentine's Day ain't what you think it is right now. You'll see. You'll see. Or you could learn right now. There's a reason why the elders were at the gate of the city. If you shall homologeo with your mouth, instead of running off with your mouth in question territory, that's where the sozo life is. Next verse. Next verse. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth homologeo is made unto soteria. You following this? Your mouth. And you know, when the devil brings oppression in, what's wrong with you? Just leave me alone. Well, talk to me. I don't want to talk. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. I just need to be still. No, you're being choked. That's the time you need to get up and shout. That's the time you need to do some 4D-ing. I know it takes faith to do that. Flesh don't want to do that. Soul don't want to do that. Shut up. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. I can't tell you how many times I've had to do that. See? Right? But I'm going to say what God said. I'm going to say what God said. Laying in that hospital, I don't care about all this stuff hooked up to me. I'm the healed. I'm the healed. I don't care what the doctor said. I'm the healed. I'm the healed. Makes no difference. It makes no difference what's going to be done here. I'm the healed. I'm the healed. And devil, I'm going to bust you in your mouth. And here it is 1 year later, I'm teaching 3 weeks. Hey! Dr. O texted me, I think it was yesterday, and he said, how you doing, Papa? He calls me Papa. I said, sir, I'm stronger than before. It's not a faith statement. It's not a faith statement. I feel good. I knew that I would. I knew that I would. So we got to be homologio in it. Right? Now, go with me. I got 11 minutes. Psalms 105. Psalms 105. Let me know when you're there. Come on, come on. You take my time. Verse 17. He sent Faith Victory Church before them. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until, I said until, the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now watch this. You're about to get a new friend. An old friend's going to introduce a new friend to you. There's his word and the word of the Lord. Look at it. You got his word and you got the word of the Lord. Two different Hebrew words for word. That's a new friend. That first word is daba. It's a word by implication, a matter is spoken of. A matter is spoken of. Remember Joseph had the dream? He was speaking about that. He had to keep that in front of him. He was speaking that. The second word, which is the word of the Lord, is the commandment. Now, understanding that Joseph is talking, but what is he talking? He's talking what he'd been commanded, what had been made real to him. Until the time that his word that he was speaking, the homologio, that he was speaking, the word, the command that God had given him, tried him. Now that word tried in the Hebrew is Tarof. Now watch this. Don't miss this. To fuse, like metal is fused. When something is fused together, it brings them together. That's why we have fuses in cars and houses. What that does is that fuse connects. If a fuse blows, then it stops. The connection's broken. Are you following? So the word of the Lord fused him with his word and the command that God had given him. And that's why you can't refuse him today if you hear his voice, right? You don't refuse him, right? Because that fuse just blew when you refuse to do what God said. And the devil tries to confuse you. It ain't never going to happen. Is anybody hearing this tonight? Right? So go back to that verse 19. Until the time that Joseph's word that he was speaking came, until then, the commandment of the Lord fused him. In other words, what he was speaking, Pastor Eric, he kept speaking it. He kept speaking it. He kept speaking it, knowing that God had given him that dream. And he kept speaking it. He kept speaking it. And as he spoke it, remember what we was talking about last night, the match game? What happened was the word of the Lord fused. And when it fused, it connected 3D with 4D. Next thing you know, he's in charge of all of Egypt. Some of you, just need to replace the fuse that's been blown. Come on. Come on. Come on. And in this fusing process, are you going to stay with what God told you? Bulldog faith. Not backing off. I know that he said. Man, I tell you, I can't tell you how many times before we have arrived at where we're at with phase two, I go out there, and I'm talking before the cliff was even cut away. The devil trying to steal what God had assigned us to do here. And I got so fed up with it, I come in the church, I said, okay, we going outside. Do we believe that's our property? Yes, Pastor. All right. Let's go. We went outside, got on that hillside, and began to thank God, praising God, jumping up and down. Cars going by. Oh, Lord. Well, we own it. Phase two is sitting on it. What was going on? There was a fusing that was happening. Are you following that? And the last one is gifts. The last one is gifts. I got 5 minutes. Hebrews chapter 11 again. We close right there. You getting anything out of this tonight? Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, wait a minute. I left out actions. James chapter 2. Y'all give me 5 minutes. You know that's dangerous, right? James chapter 2. Y'all wasn't even going to say nothing. James chapter 2. But the Holy Ghost brings all things to remembrance. James chapter 2, we're looking at actions. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So, how do we use faith? We speak what God says. Right? And then we do what God says in alignment with what we're believing for. Corresponding action. You hear me use that terminology a lot. Corresponding. In other words, what correspond? What's the corresponding action to what I'm saying? For instance, I'm believing God for a car. Well, I don't go looking for a house. Are you following what I'm saying? Corresponding action. Are you following? Believing God for a house, I'm not going to the car lot. Corresponding action. Right? There has to be corresponding action. You know, again, don't have time to go there, but whatever he saith unto you, do it, right? It says in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I'm telling you to do, right? But faith can be seen. Luke 5:20 says that Jesus saw their faith. Remember when they were ripping up the roof, when the presence of the Lord was there to heal, didn't nobody get healed. So, and they couldn't get that man with the palsy in there, so they went on top of the roof and opened up the roof and lowered him down. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, so faith can be seen. Watch this. And so can doubt and unbelief. See? So, actions, you know, the world has concluded at least this. Actions speak louder than words. I mean, they've at least got that much. Talk is cheap, they say. Well, no, talk ain't cheap. Right? Are you following? But what they're meaning is you're talking big. Let's see you do something, right? Well, the church been talking big, right? It's time for us to be doing something. You talking big, then probably your action's going to be big. Did you hear what I said? Hallelujah. Now we're at gifts. Hebrews chapter 11, talking about how do I use faith once I get it? Words, actions, gifts. Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. It was faith. He offered it by faith. So that tells us that Abel, when he brought that more excellent sacrifice, it was so excellent, it was like it wasn't surplus. It wasn't, I'm not going to miss that at all. It wasn't sparingly. Or it wouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame. So it had to be some kind of substantial seed. You know, Psalms 126 talks about that precious seed. Those that sow in tears will reap in joy. He that goeth forth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Right? Right? And there, that great General Oral Roberts said, called it seed faith. When you sow seed, you add your faith with it. Just don't write the check or sow that offering without your faith. Don't don't get in some religious routine or conscience. Look, for those of you that are partners, Elder Fantley gives me a list every week of what is given. I don't look at how much you all give. I lay my hands on that paper and begin prophesying. That's what I do. And hopefully, because I'm releasing my faith at that time, hopefully you have released your faith, not got in some kind of religious partnership that you're just doing it to appease your conscience. Mama Albert and I, we've never drawn back in our partnership. Matter of fact, I wrote out the checks today. And if I told you how much every month that we partner outside this church, not even saying what's in the church, some of you can't handle it. So I'm not going to say it. Because in your mind, well, he don't need my money. See, you're still in that category. See? But Oral Roberts called it seed faith. And so right here we see Abel. The first offering that we really see, other than God making that first offering with the skins to cover his kids, Adam and Eve. But then we see Abraham just a few verses later. Go ahead. Yeah. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, what's going on? He's being fused. Offered up Isaac. Now, ain't none of us had to go to that extreme. I mean, I know what it did for when God said, give Lickitu away. I mean, Lord, I could not imagine. Because Abraham went to the point of no return. It goes on to say, accounting that he was able to raise him from the dead, in which where he received him in a figure. In other words, he already saw Isaac dead. He already saw it done, but he was convinced that God promised him Isaac, that he, after he killed him, offered him, he'd raise him back up. See? But your gifts, and when you, one puts 1,000 flight, two puts 10,000 flight, but a threefold cord is hard to break. And when you get homologion, which I believe you're doing, and you're putting corresponding action, which I hope you're doing, along with the gifts that you've sown, and you continue, however, right, as God guides you and leads you, you're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. And I went 5 minutes over. Forgive me. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go the way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Share the love of Jesus with you. with each other, and I'll see you tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Be a blessing.